John Berneit's journal and letters continued Cork, the 8th of the 11th month, 1682. I have been through these parts as far as Castlehaven, and had a meeting there yesterday week, and so returned back again to Cork, to the 6 weeks' meeting, where we had a blessed season, the Lord's power was richly among us. And after tomorrow, I am to go towards Yole, and so into the county of Tipperary, and then to Castledermot meeting, and then for all I know, towards Dublin. I am comforted in my service among friends, who are generally glad of my coming, and of what they have an expectation of in relation to my marriage. But my heart is fully satisfied, in that I feel the Lord's goodness towards us, and in his fear I do delight to wait upon him in this, as in other things, and desire that we may be a good example. Therefore, I find it our way not to be hasty. The Lord give us wisdom to walk so, as that he may be glorified, and friends in us comforted. This I desire above all earthly things. Dublin, the 30th of the first month, 1683. I am concerned to hear of the continued sufferings of our friends in England. We are still at ease here, as from those things. The Lord works our hearts more and more into thankfulness, and guide us in wisdom to walk worthy of these favors, that in displeasure he may never take them from us. But whenever he is pleased to remove them, it may be in his love, for a trial unto us, as I believe it is with many of his faithful ones, whom my soul desires he may still preserve in the faith that gives the victory. I have been in the north, and did pass among friends, and had a blessed service. I am intending to go forth of this city tomorrow towards Wicklow, and so through the county of Wexford to visit friends there. Dublin, the 10th of the third month, 1683. We have now accomplished that concern of marriage, which we have for some time been under, and blessed be the Lord, he has been unto us a comfortable director in our undertakings in this matter, to the satisfaction of friends in the general, who were with us. Besides the friends of the city, we had many of the friends of the south end of the nation, who had come to be at the half-year's meeting, and some the sooner upon our account, and abundance of other people. We had a blessed meeting. Several brethren were with us, and the Lord's power assisting, all things were well, and we had peace and comfort, and the truth was honored. Not only friends, but many sober people were greatly affected with the management of it. Well, the Lord will honor his name and way and people, if we are only careful to honor him. The Lord is good unto us. We have cause to mind his goodness unto us, and truly that which is chiefly in both our hearts is to seek his glory, and above all things to desire preservation in his wisdom. Dublin, the 24th of the fifth month. There is a report abroad that meetings will be disturbed and broken up, but nothing is done yet. It may be that friends here, as well as in other parts, must bear the burden, as to the right part in suffering. And I hope it will be friends' care to be given up in the innocence, to suffer for that testimony the Lord has raised in their hearts, by which we have been kept innocent and clear from the beginning under all governments, and so we never could touch or join with that which did seek the hurt of any. This must be our cloak or covering, and this gives boldness, and is, and will be the ease of the spirits of all the faithful, and what will answer the consciences of our adversaries. I believe, if some suffering does come, it will work for good through trying our spirits, faith, and patience, so that many may come to know themselves, and the Lord, and his power also, better thereby. From the Marshalsea Prison in Dublin, the 9th of the 6th month. We are very likely to partake in some measure of suffering with our friends and brethren in England. The last first day, the mayor sent the marshal to our meeting in the morning. I was speaking, and he commanded me to go with him, which after some discourse I did. He commanded the meeting to disperse, but friends kept quiet in their places. I was carried before the mayor, with whom I had some discourse to this effect. He asked me why we acted contrary to the government, having been commanded not to meet. I told him, we do nothing in contempt of the government. But he said, why do you not obey then? I said, because it is matter of conscience to us, and that which we believe to be our indispensable duty, to meet together to worship God. To which he answered, you may be misled. I told him if we were misled, we were willing to be informed, if any could do it. Then he pleaded that other dissenters had submitted, and why would not we? I said, what they do will be no plea for us before the judgment seat of the great God. So after some other discourse, the mayor committed me to this prison. The professors have left their public meeting places. The Bishop of Dublin sent for them, and they consulted together, and with consent returned this answer, that they would cease. The bishop also sent for A.S. and did to him require the same of friends, but A.S. told him we could not cease to meet to worship God. In the end the bishop said, if we would meet, we must accept the consequences. However, I hope it will work for the honor of truth. The Lord preserve friends faithful and valiant. I hope God has a remnant that will stand in the trial, though if sufferings do come hard, it may cause some to turn their backs. Let the Lord order as he pleases. I know no better way than to endeavor to be prepared for suffering. Epistle to friends in Gloucester Prison. Dear friends, unto you who are faithful sufferers in that city, with the rest of the faithful in that country, who in your hearts are given up to suffer for the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, who has called and redeemed, chosen, and given you hearts not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake, and thus had counted you worthy as vessels of his choice. Unto you all, I say, in the name and love of Christ Jesus our Lord, I send greeting, and with all the tender salutation of my soul and spirit in that near affection and holy union, into which, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we have been gathered and united. So that as members of that one body, into which we have been baptized by that one Spirit, in which the true access unto God does stand, we have our fellowship together. And so drink together into that one Spirit, and are refreshed with the water that flows from the living rock that followed Israel of old, who is the rock of our age, the stay of the generation of the righteous in this day, that upon which we have our sure standing, so that we cannot be easily moved. Though the winds do blow and the waters swell and toss, and the unestablished be driven to and fro and so afflicted in their spirits, yet this rock abides for a habitation and being of safety unto all those who keep firm thereunto. And as they abide near in their spirit unto the holy power thereof, they find the living spring of that grace from the same in their souls, that the world cannot take away, whose treasure the thief cannot steal, nor the moth waste. For it is heavenly, and kept by a heavenly hand. Such who mind this, will be ready to offer up their earthly substance, and also themselves into his hand and will, out of which no man is able to pluck. Surely, in this day there is no true rest or satisfaction to the souls or spirits of friends, but as they get here in the faith with their hearts and spirits. When we are here spiritually, oh, this holy shield, how does it defend? Oh, the holy rock, how do we sit under the shadow of it? Oh, the holy joy that the dwellers upon this do feel in their spirits, though the tempest be great. Oh, the God of heaven, keep us all in the holy sense of this, that our spirits may be borne up from sinking under our exercises in the trial, that so we may all glorify him in our day. Dearly beloved, you tender, suffering children, whose hearts are tender of God's glory, and therefore are willing to give up yourselves and your all for his name's sake, that you may be of that number, who following the Lamb wherever he goes, and not loving your lives unto death, that you may stand with him upon Mount Zion. My heart and soul is knit unto you, and you are near me, and in the unity of the ancient life, I feeling love abundantly to flow unto you, you have had a proof of the sincerity of my love of old unto you. And truly, you who stand in your innocent testimony faithfully, do engage my heart still more and more in the love unto you. Oh, the tender meltings of my spirit in the sweetness of the love of God, in which I reach you, and rejoice with you in your joy, which all the wrath of man cannot put a stop unto. I know your hearts are at ease and your spirits free, and the weights and burdens from off you who are freely given up to suffer, though in these bonds outwardly. But there can be no such spiritual portion received by any that shrink from their testimony in this day of trial. For the word is true forever, they that suffer with him shall reign with him. He, the captain, was made perfect through sufferings, and he must be followed by all that come in the fullness, to partake with him of his glory. Such who draw back and would find a place of safety for themselves to escape their sufferings for their testimony, though they should fly to the uttermost parts of the earth, the Lord's hand will find them out, and there will not only be a holding back of the portion, but a spiritual pain will overtake, where the heart is tender. And because thereof, uneasy will every place be unto their spirits. And therefore, my dear friends, keep in the faith and word that justifies, and then will you reign in the seed that is heir forever, in which you will overcome and inherit and be conquerors, and so triumph with the Lamb that must have the victory, before whose feet the crowns of all the mighty must be laid down, unto whom the kings of the earth and all flesh must bow. In him we trust, his heavenly kingdom we wait for, and pray for the coming of, that even such as are our enemies, by the power thereof may be converted unto God, and so have an inheritance with us in that kingdom that has no end. That so mankind might rest together in that hope that does not make ashamed, where the love of God might be shed abroad in all hearts by his Spirit. Thus God is filling the hearts of his children with goodwill towards all. The Lord keep us therein forever. Dear friends, by this know that I am well, and have now come to have a share with you of the sufferings that attend for the gospel's sake. I have been 3 weeks a prisoner here in the Marshalsea of Dublin. So in the true fellowship of the gospel am a partaker with you both of the sufferings and consolation that attend us for the testimony thereof. I remain your brother. John Burneyeat from the Marshalsea, in the city of Dublin, the 25th of the 6th month, 1683. Dublin, the 9th of the 7th month. We are satisfied that the Lord's hand is in all these things, and doubtless he has a purpose to magnify his arm and thereby to exalt his own name and precious truth in the end. And in his so doing, his people shall be comforted and receive the reward, even everyone that endures unto the end. Truly, as our eye is unto him in our exercise, we feel still around for a sure hope, even that which abides is an anchor sure and steadfast, by which we are held that we cannot be driven away. In his is our comfort, when we seem as to the outward, as if we had no surer place than upon the tossing waves of the troubled tempestuous sea. All is uncertain, no steadfastness or stay or rest unto any in looking out. Therefore I often think, I am satisfied it is God's way, thus to blow upon the nations with the breath of his displeasure, that all the waters for the people are waters, may be tossed together, and that they may be made restless and driven on heaps and into confusion, and so become a sea into which Babylon, as a great millstone, must fall to make her perpetual end. Even that mystery Babylon spoken of old, that has so prevailed, and made the nations drunk, and gone over peoples and languages. Not one people only, and all that partake with her in her sins, must partake with her in her plagues and judgments. Therefore the Lord is calling out of her. But her sins, her delights and delicacies, many are unwilling to part with, and that is the reason why many stay there, who do not think themselves within her borders. But the nations are drunk with her wine, and know not what they are doing, for their understanding is lost. Oh, the sadness of that day! My soul often does view it, but the greatness of their sin does draw it down upon them, which is come into the view and remembrance of the dreadful God. And therefore may all the righteous rejoice, who truly feel redemption out of her, and are come, through Christ the seed, to be sons and daughters of Zion, and so heirs of the peaceable Jerusalem, which is built upon the rock and foundation, which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We are here still detained prisoners, and have of late written to the mayor. But he answered, he would not set us at liberty without an order from the deputy. Then we wrote to him, and A.S. and S.C. did go to him, and he was very kind to them, and told them he had a greater love for us than any other dissenters, because he believed that we did mean honestly. Dublin, the 4th of the 8th month, 1683. I have been a time in the country, and came into the city again but yesterday. I went to the province meetings at Rosnelly's, and have visited many meetings. I was comforted with friends in the good presence of the power that did attend us. Things are pretty well among friends, and our meetings large and full. We feel little of those sufferings which our dear friends in England have heavy upon them. The Lord preserve us tender, low, and humble, that we may be worthy of such a mercy from the hand of the Lord. Dublin, the 16th of the 8th month. I am now cleared of my imprisonment. We wrote to the deputy a few lines, which he carried to the council. After which he sent his secretary to the recorder of the city with his order for our release, which was very full and clear, without anything demanded of us. I have not heard that friends in any part of this nation are meddled with. We enjoy great favors at the hand of the Lord. Ah, that we may walk worthy thereof forever, and be moved thereby to a sense of what our dear friends in England still suffer, and then will the mercies we live under be rightly valued. Dublin, the 9th of the 12th month. I have been through all the meetings in Ulster, and returned home but the third day this week. I had a blessed time among friends, and found things in the main very well. I had large and peaceable meetings, which is a mercy I desire the Lord may so sanctify unto us, as that we may walk worthy of them, while they are afforded us, and when he sees fit to order it otherwise, we may be prepared. I have been but little at home of late, and know nothing but that I may go next week forth of town again towards the other end of the nation. Dublin, the 17th of the 1st month, 1684. I came home this day. I have been through the most of the south and western parts, and have had a good journey, and found friends generally well, and all our meetings peaceable. Dublin, the 20th of the 1st month. In my last I hinted, that I was but newly come home from visiting friends in the south end of the nation, and so from the province meeting at Castle Dermot. I came home on the second day, and an appointed marriage, Amos Stoddard's marriage, was to be on the third day, which took place accordingly. And abundance of people there was, so that we had a good opportunity, and the people generally well satisfied. So that a very great report of recommendation is abroad through the city concerning our order and method, and the gravity and solemn manner of our accomplishing it. It is greatly our comfort, when in all our ways we honor the truth. I have had a busy winter in traveling, and that prosperously, and now I see nothing, but I shall have liberty to stay a while at home. The Lord is good to us and orders things to our comfort, and we are comforted in Him and one in another. Blessed be His name for over. Dublin, the 9th of the 3rd month. It is just the time of our half-year's meeting, and there are many friends in town. We had a very large meeting, and very quiet and well, and things in the general very well among friends as relating to truth. We have cause to be thankful to the Lord for His mercies and comforts we enjoy, who is the author of all mercies and comforts, sanctifying all things rightly to them that fear and love Him, through the sanctifying of their hearts by His word, that keeps, bears up, and upholds. The Lord keep all our hearts stayed in this, and then will all things work together for good, according to the ancient saying. Crabtree Beck in Cumberland, the 12th of the 6th month. I left Dublin 6 days was a week. I have some intent to go over into Scotland, but am not yet certain of the time, but do hope, if the Lord preserve me in my liberty, to return into this country again. Greysouthen, the 19th of the 6th month. Between 2 or 3 weeks' time I hope to be as far as Edinburgh. Leith, the 6th of the 8th month. I have had a very peaceable and prosperous journey since I came into Scotland earlier. I came to Edinburgh at the time appointed, and stayed here 1 first day, and then took my journey into the north, and J. H. and J. T. with me. I spent about 3 weeks there and in my journey. We had meetings, while I was there, almost every day, and a blessed open service, through the Lord's power, among friends. There is an open, tender-hearted people, and they were glad of my coming, for there had not been any English friend among them of a long time. Being clear, J.T. and I came away this day a week, and left J.H. there. We got to this town the 4th day of the last week, and were at Edinburgh the 5th day at their meeting, and yesterday had a blessed meeting there in the morning, and here the afternoon. Tomorrow we intend to take our journey for the West, and do hope to be clear this day week to go for England, and to be in Cumberland tomorrow week, if the Lord will. Previously all has been very quiet where I have been, and I hear nothing, but friends' meetings are quiet all over Scotland, and friends are allowed to be quiet, but in some places they are very busy with some other people. Here has been a pretty deal ado about a plot, but of these things we know nothing, nor in such doings have any hand, and therefore about it desire not to meddle. Though others' doings may bring sufferings upon us, yet still our happiness is, to be kept innocent, that if we suffer, it may not be for evil doing, and then it will be well. Eaglesfield, the 12th of the 9th month. Truly in this trying day, in which we are all of us like to have our faith and love to God tried, our greatest concern always is, to be in our hearts truly and wisely given up, and resigned to the will of God. That we may therein rest in and under whatsoever the Lord may order for us, or call us unto. And then may we have peace in every exercise, and have dominion in our spirits over every opposition, many of which the true travailing Israel of God meet within this age. I got very well through the west of Scotland, and met with no disturbance, all was quiet when I was there. Our meetings are quiet in Cumberland. I suppose I may stay yet about 2 weeks here. Stockton, the 11th of the 10th month. I came out of Cumberland about 2 weeks ago, and was at Strickland Head, and then came on into Bishopric, and thought I should but have touched at Darnton Darlington, and this town, and so on into Yorkshire. But when I was at Darnton, it came upon me to give friends a visit further in this county. So I went to Durham, and had a blessed meeting there, and did visit the prisoners. Then I went to Sunderland, had a meeting there, and then to Shields, and to TF's, and had a meeting there. I there returned to Shot, and to this town, and had a blessed meeting in the evening last night, it being their meeting time. They are usually kept out of their meeting house here, but last night we got in, and the meeting was full and peaceable, and so have been all the meetings where I have been. Now I am ready to go over into Yorkshire, and do hope to be at York in about 2 weeks' time. I suppose I may be their 1st day come 2 weeks. Gerig, the 26th of the 11th month, 1684. I have had a very comfortable and peaceable journey, and came through Cleveland and the moors to Whitby, and from there up to Malton and to York. Meetings have been quiet all along where I have been. Yesterday fortnight, a constable was at the meeting house before I came, and stood in the way to speak with the friend that I came along with, it being just before the sessions. He had a warrant and was to give his return at sessions, and therefore threatened that if we would not cease to meet that day, he must carry us before a justice. However, after we had reasoned a while with him, we parted and went into the meeting, and he went away and did not come into the meeting. So we had a blessed meeting and parted in peace, and the Lord's power was over all, to our great joy. This was all the appearance of molestation I have yet met with, and I have had a very good season and abundance of meetings since I left York. In Yorkshire, I was at Robert Lodge's house and had his company a pretty time out of Yorkshire. I went to Lancaster, and when I had visited friends, I came into Westmoreland to Preston meeting, and yesterday was at Sedbergh. We had a peaceable meeting, but we were forced to meet out of the meeting house in the street because the meeting house was locked to keep friends out. I intend to have some meetings in this county, and so down to Swarthmore and on into Cumberland as the Lord makes way. Eaglesfield, the 25th of the 12th month. I have had a very peaceable journey and visited friends' meetings very fully in Westmoreland, and all was quiet. Since I came into Cumberland, I was at Carlisle and the border. Now my service seems to be over, and I am preparing to go home. I was at Workington this day, and tomorrow I intend to go to Whitehaven and to take the first opportunity for Dublin. Thus far I have been preserved very well through all my travels, and now I hope I shall get home. Dublin, the 25th of the first month, 1685. I got well here last night, but was put ashore in the north, in Strangford River, about 70 miles from Dublin, and about 4 and 20 from Lisnagarvie. Being put ashore there, I found an openness in my heart to give friends a visit in the north, so I spent near 2 weeks among them, and had many good meetings. I am very glad, and my heart is truly thankful to the Lord, for his preservation through this last journey so safe and clear, and that he ordered my way so comfortably home, where I hope I may be of service in my place and a comfort to friends. The Lord our God is to be minded by us in all things. I find things among friends generally pretty well, as formerly, and meetings very large and peaceable here and in the north. I am intending to go out of town to the province meeting. Dublin, the 16th of the third month. At this half-year's meeting, we had a very great appearance of friends out of the country. Many say they have not seen so many ever before. To our public meetings, abundance of other people came, even far more than could get into our house. They were very sober, so that the truth has a good place among sober people. Though the professors, who shrink and hide, we are informed, do rail against friends, they seem as if they were given up to hardness of heart, and so set in their blindness and hardness that they go on until the rod comes upon them. For they do not lay anything so to heart, as thereby to be brought off from the evil error of their hard and prejudiced minds. It does appear that they envy friends good, and are offended that we do not fly into holes as they do. But as for friends, they are very cheerful, and we have had a very blessed season, and are kept in unity, peace, and concord in our meetings and concerns, and the Lord's good presence is preciously with us, to our comfort and consolation. Blessed be the Lord, he is not lacking to us, both to sanctify our hearts and also to fill them with his spiritual mercies and to contribute of his other mercies and blessings, whereby he may make our days pleasant unto us, that with gladness and joy of soul we may serve and praise him, who is worthy forever. Amen. Dublin, the 4th of the 6th month. Yesterday I came home, having been through the south end of the nation, and between 6 and 7 weeks away, and have had a very comfortable journey among friends and peaceable. Blessed be the Lord for his mercies taught wards us. Epistle to John Banks. Dublin, the 19th of the 6th month, 1685. Dear John Banks, unto you with your fellow prisoners, who suffer for the blessed testimony of that precious truth, in which we have believed, does the real and tender affection and love of my heart and soul flow forth at this time. And in the sweetness and peacefulness of that which is our life, do I dearly salute you, and in the unity thereof tenderly greet you all, whose hearts are kept up in that, and under the holy conduct of it, for which you suffer. In this we have our unity, which in itself lives and reigns over all, and shall reign in its own pure dominion and dignity, even the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom principalities and thrones and dominions must be subject. It is for his testimony, you know, that you suffer, namely, the testimony of Jesus, which you have received from him by his Spirit, and thereby have it sealed in your hearts. Though many do not understand the weight and certainty of your testimony, for which you suffer and therefore may look lightly upon it. Yet you, who are enjoyers of the power and have received the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Spirit of prophecy, and so his testimony therein, you feel the weight of, know the certainty of the testimony for which you suffer. And so in your sufferings have your peace and justification. My dearly beloved in the Lord, see that you all hold that fast in your hearts in the rich possession of it, for which you suffer, that you may feel your reward with you, and your comforter in you to bear up your spirits over all your sufferings. And so you will have a satisfaction in yourselves, that whatever others say, or may think of your sufferings, and the reason thereof, you know that it is for the truth and its testimony that you suffer, and for keeping of your consciences clear in the sight of God. So in the hidden man of the heart, you rest in quietness in that hidden life which you receive from Christ, and here is your peace and comfort, which no man can take from you, or knows of it but such as are in fellowship with you, who live in and love the same testimony. Those who know not your reward, your crown, or your peace cannot reach to take it away. And that is our joy, that we have a crown and inheritance that is out of their sight and so out of their reach. Oh, therefore let all take heed, that through carelessness or looseness of spirit, or any other thing, you be not beguiled or betrayed from that to the losing of it, while you are suffering for it. You know, my friends, it is possible. Such things have been even in our age, that while some have been suffering for the truth, they have been betrayed from the truth, and the innocence and simplicity of it in their hearts, and so have lost the truth, even that for which they were called to suffer. For you know it is an inward thing, and must be held in the inward unity of the mind in a spiritual fellowship. And if there be not a care even while we are in one thing doing for the truth in the outward, in the inward we may lose it, and our justification by it. And then, where shall we go for our peace and recompense? The God of my life give you all wisdom and fear, and fill you with holy reverence, that you may still stand in awe before him, and be watchful over your spiritual path, and the feet of your souls and minds, that you may tread in the invisible way of peace and righteousness. Dear friends, live in peace and love together among yourselves, and in a holy, solid life before all men, keeping out of the spirit of the world in all things. That as it is upon a religious account you suffer, you may appear in all other things to be religious men, or otherwise you know, the truth cannot be honored by your suffering. For if men, who suffer for or upon the account of religion, appear not to be religious men, this overthrows the glory and beauty of their religion, and brings it into disesteem among men. And therefore did Christ command that our light should shine before men, by their seeing of our good works. Have a care of provoking one another unto anything that is evil, but endeavor to stir up and provoke one another unto love and good works, that you may build up one another therein, and so help to bear one another's burden, and fulfill the law of Christ, that you may all be kept up together in the justification and peace. So, dear friends, my heart's love being unto you, I send these few lines as a testimony thereof, by which you may know, you are in my remembrance in the love of God, and my heart has an honorable esteem of your testimony and your sufferings in righteousness for the same. I desire to be remembered to friends in the country, both below Carlisle and above, and friends in the city, to John Carlisle and family, with the rest. My wife's dear love is to you all. My love is with you. Farewell from your friend, John Burney, Dublin, the 6th of the 7th month. I am glad to hear that things are so still and quiet in England, and that friends have some breathing time of ease to rest from persecution. It is the Lord's mercy towards, but our innocence is that which must speak for us, and if we lose that, our defense would depart from us, and then there would none to flee to, for vain is all help from below. Therefore it will be our happiness to rest quiet, with our faith in him, for he is able to preserve, who promised them of old, he would give them favor in the eyes of the king of Babylon. It had been their safety to have trusted in his word, but in their taking their own way, they brought ruin upon themselves. And so will all do now, whose eye is not unto the Lord to stay their minds upon him, but who look out to follow their own contrivances. I know the truth will keep out of all such things, if friends be careful to keep under the conduct thereof. But if fleshly reasonings prevail in the unbelief, then the eye goes out, and the mind falls into the haste. So the patience and longsuffering is lost, and the hope and faith let fall. Then the creature can neither trust in the Lord, nor stay rightly or his time and season. Our meetings are very quiet and peaceable, which is a mercy we greatly value, and our hearts in the Lord's truth are at rest, and that is our comfort. Both there and here, and wherever we are, it will be our place to be prepared for suffering. That is likely to be our portion for the truth. And it is but as it was of old, if any will live godly in Christ Jesus, he must suffer persecution. I am ready to go out of town to visit friends in the county of Wicklow. Dublin, the 19th of the 7th month, 1685. I am sorry that so much occasion of offense should be given to some friends here, by some that take liberty there, namely at London, by running back into such things as the truth condemns, and so to be encouragers of pride and vanity, which will grow too fast, to the drawing down of the displeasure of the Lord upon man. Therefore, I would have friends to stand in that which is plain, and keep to the cross in their trades and dealings, and clothes, and in all things, that they may remain standing witnesses for God in righteousness against pride, and all the vanity of the world. For therein will stand our safety forever. I desire that we may live up to the truth in all things, that the blessing may attend us. Indeed, we had need to be circumspect, for every lawful thing is not expedient, because there may be an unlawful liberty strengthened thereby. The Lord keep us all in his wisdom truly lowly and humble, that we may still honor him in all things and remain a people through our day to his glory. For if with us in our day we let the spirit of the world prevail to the overthrowing of our own testimony, what example and footsteps shall we leave to them that come after us? I am full, and could say much, for my heart is concerned to hear those, who themselves are not so good as they ought to be, strengthen themselves by bad examples. For though some may be slow to mind that which is good, so as to learn good from the example thereof, yet they are quick to take encouragement from the contrary. Epistle to Friends, Dublin, the 12th of the 8th month, 1685. Dear friends, in the universal spirit of life and truth, and of righteousness and peace, does the tender affection and pure love of my heart flow forth and reach unto you all, who are true lovers of the power and the holiness of the same, in which alone it is that we bear the image of him whose name is holiness, and his nature and being in purity, so that in that only we do draw and may draw near unto him, and have fellowship with him, and enjoy his presence, who is our God, our life and salvation. In the unity of that, whereby we have been quickened, and through which we live unto him who has quickened us, do I exhort and beseech you all, to mind with reverence his secret and sweet visitations by his holy power upon your spirits and your hearts, that you feel that to appear there, and so through the brightness of its appearing to destroy him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And not only to appear and destroy him and his works, but also to abide with you, and dwell in you, and so make you his dwelling place. You being watchful, shall not watch in vain, because the Lord will be your keeper. And then, he keeping the city, the watchman wakes not in vain. Thus you may see it fulfilled in your own hearts, and so have comfort and confidence with holy David, and with him live above the fear of evil, though you might walk through the shadow of death, because of the Lord's being with you. Friends, see that you all be mindful of him in his appearing by his power and spirit of grace in your hearts, and let him have room there, and not to be straitened, thronged, or oppressed. For he delights to dwell alone there, and have the whole heart to himself, and at his own disposing, that he may fill it with that in which he takes pleasure, and in which he only may be glorified and honored. Therefore does he require the heart, saying, My son, give me your heart, and Christ commands that we should love him with all our hearts. So let him have room in your hearts, and take heed that with this world, the spirit of it, nature of it, and love to the things therein, your hearts are not filled, and so taken up that there is no room for him, whose coming is with such glory and fullness, that he fills all who are rightly poor and empty, with that fullness, richness, and glory that there can be no lack to them, who have him for their portion and inheritance, and keep single in their hearts before him. But where the heart is filled with delight in or desire after other things, out of the covenant of God, which is out of his favor, there the Lord will not delight to dwell, there is not room. No, he will not delight to appear there, because it will be his grief and an oppression unto him. Was it not so of old, when he took up his complaint against both Judah and Israel? As you may see, Amos 2 how the Lord pleads with them and threatens them, what he would bring upon them for their sins, which he reckons up against them. And withal to aggravate their crimes, as he might justly do, he also tells them what he had done for them, how he had destroyed the Amorites for their sakes, brought them out of the land of Egypt, led them in the wilderness, given them the land of the Amorites to possess, raised up of their sons to be prophets, and their young men to be Nazarenes. But said he unto them, you gave my Nazarenes wine to drink, and commanded my prophets, saying, prophesy not. Behold, I am pressed under you, as a cart is pressed that is full of sheaves. Here it may be understood that when he has been at work, and has done good by his glorious power, who works wonderfully for them, and now in them also who believe in his power. If there is a going from him, and letting other things into the heart, where he should rule and have his dwelling in man, and so with man it becomes a grief and an oppression to him, and a provocation that he will not always bear it, nor spare man, though he is long-suffering, as may be seen very fully in that prophecy of Amos, and more at large through the scriptures, which were written for our learning, that we might be warned, and thereby stirred up to that diligence, care and watchfulness which may tend to our preservation. Now considering these things that were of old, and observing how that in our age the Lord has made known his accustomed goodness to us, even that which does far exceed the outward privileges of outward Israel. For that which he blesses us withal is a possession and enjoyment of a degree of his own life, who is the Creator, by which he created all things, which is more than the enjoyment of the creature. The loss of which was the great penalty laid upon Adam, if he broke the command, which he having lost, is again restored unto us through Christ Jesus, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, which we having received, do thereby live unto God, and therein serve him. Dear friends, the thing that is chiefly in my mind unto you is, to entreat and beseech you all to be tender in your hearts, and careful over your spirits, that you may not let in, nor join with anything, that will bring grief or oppression upon your life, or lead you into the transgression of the law thereof. Mind the exhortation of the apostle, grieve not the Spirit, by which you are sealed. As you are careful, watchful, and wise to take heed to the holy conduct and blessed leadings and direction of this Spirit and the law thereof, your souls will dwell in peace, and your feet will tread in a safe path, even the path of peace, and your stops will not slide. But you will witness what David said of old to be true, that the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. For said he, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. So here you see, what it is that keeps from sliding, the law of God which is in the heart, this preserved David, for it was as a lantern to his feet and a light unto his paths. Oh, my dear friends, you may be happy. Yes, we may all be happy if we are as careful as we ought to walk by this rule. Oh, the sweetness, peace, and glory that he fills the hearts of all his people with who take heed unto his law. The spirit is not grieved. The life of the soul is not oppressed. The soul, life, or spirit of man is at ease, and so in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, and in that state where it can sing unto the Lord and praise him. Therefore, all of you mind your dwelling and inward liberty, and spiritual freedom from all the corruptions of the world, and of the flesh, both inwardly in yourselves, and all temptations from without, that you may reign in the dominion of the seed Christ Jesus forever. And so with him be co-heirs of that heavenly inheritance and possession which he has purchased for you. In the unity of that life which reigns over all, do I very dearly salute you all, who love the truth. And in that do I desire, that the rod of life may bear up your spirits by his power, over all that would defile or oppress, that you may be preserved to remain the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke in and among this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights, to the glory of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who over all is worthy of glory and honor and dominion, world without end. From your friend and brother in the truth, John Burney, Dublin, the 18th of the 9th month. We have had a comfortable season this half year's meeting, quiet and peaceable, and in love and unity among ourselves, so that we have cause to be truly thankful unto the Lord for that mercy, among all other mercies we enjoy from his blessed hand. Letter to Roger Roberts, Dublin, the 23rd of the 11th month, 1680. Dear R. In the love and unity of the blessed truth, which lives and abides forever, do I very dearly salute you and your wife. And herein is my heart's desire for you unto the Lord, that by his blessed hand and power, you may be supported under all exercises that may attend, and in your minds preserved with an invisible eye unto the Lord, taking notice of his orderings, as it is his hand that brings to pass what he sees good. And then in his fear and love, there will be a reverent submitting to his will without murmuring or repining at what the Lord does. Though nature in the true and natural affection, which good men and women cannot be without, may be broken and greatly bowed down, yet as long as the mind is preserved from murmuring at what the Lord does, it will be well. There will be a heart capable of giving him his due, as it was with Job. Dear R., I must say my heart is concerned for you, both upon your own account, having heard of your great weakness and affliction you have been under, and also because of the loss of your dear and tender daughter, who in your absence is taken away both from you and us. But what shall I say? It is so, and the Lord has done it, and it is not safe to dispute the case with him or say, why has he done so? But tenderly submit to his will and bless him that gives and takes away as he sees good. However, this I think I may say to you and your wife with safety. You need not sorrow, as such who have no hope, because of the ground God has given for a sure hope of her eternal well-being, which is the mark we are all pressing towards, and they are happy who do obtain it. For I was with her the day that she died, in the afternoon, and had a serious, weighty season with her. She sent for me, and told me, as soon as I came to her, that now she was satisfied she must die, and her heart was wholly set after her assurance of peace with the Lord, and her desires to us, namely, her husband and me, were that the doctor might not trouble her, for she was not willing to be hindered from a quiet departure. For her heart was set after a peaceable departure out of this world, as was evident from her words several times. She was very sensible and spoke to me with a good understanding, and seemed to be concerned for many, as she said, who came to meetings in Dublin, who did not mind their conditions or the stay of their minds, whom she feared would scarcely be saved. My heart, I must say, was greatly affected with her exercise and concern, and was comforted in the sense of that living presence that was with us at that season. When we had spent some time together and were refreshed and I to go away, she did most solemnly take her leave of me in great affection and signified how kind she took my visit, withal seriously saying, farewell, dear John, if I never see you more. And so I came away, in a few hours after she was struck with death. In the evening, my while and I went again to see her. We found her very ill, but she lay quietly under the extremity of her pain. We, with several other friends, sat by and waited on her until she departed, which was about the 11th hour at night. She went away in quietness, as I found before was her desire. We sitting and standing quietly by her, our hearts were broken, and I felt a glorious melting power, which tendered my spirit, and a brightness and a light that did shine, and it was sweetly in my heart when she was departed. She has not gone into darkness, but is in the light. The sense whereof was a great satisfaction to me, because I know the glory is there, in the light forever. Now, poor lamb, it is her gain, though yours and our loss. For considering her years, she was a modest and good example, and as she said to me at that season, she was never inclined to vanity. I perceived her care was sometimes greatly for you, fearing your exercise would be great. Well, I must consider that the loss of such a dear child cannot but come very near tender parents. Yet you may be comforted in a satisfaction of her well-being, and so rest, and even say with David, we may go to her, but she cannot come to us, and so comfort your hearts in the Lord, and rest in his will. And dear R., this may find you something better in health than we have of late heard. However, I am sure my heart truly desires that it may be so. If the Lord gives you strength, I should be glad to see you here. For I think, all this while you have been absent, your place seems to be empty. I cannot look upon it that you should be from among us. But if the Lord gives you strength, you should be here, bearing and having your share with us. For I look upon you as one of us, and so I think would not have you delay, as the way opens. My wife's very dear love is to you and your while, and our love is dearly to Ellen Callow and friends there. For further account of things, I may leave to other hands. We are all quiet and peaceable here. So with my true and endeared love unto you, I conclude and remain your friend, John Burney, Dublin, the 29th of the 4th month, 1686. Though the world is full of tumults, unquiet, and amazements, yet blessed is the God of our salvation, who has brought us into a degree of that rest, which the distresses that are from below cannot reach. So that there is something known to retire unto for a sanctuary that the world knows not, neither can the destroyer come into it. Therefore, our safety is always to keep our interest therein, that we may have our privilege to our mansion there, and so rest in the time of trouble, where no hurter nor destroyer can come. The Lord's power is to be admired, loved, and believed in forever, who gives us blessed seasons and calms and quiets. It is true forever, the winds and seas must obey him. Blessed are all that put their trust in him. Fears and restlessness do possess the hearts of many. But for our parts, we have an eye unto the Lord, and know he has a hand in ordering of, or allowing all things, for ends best known unto himself. And therein we rest. I desire that the Lord, by the indwelling of his power in our souls, may still so keep and preserve us in that simplicity and godly sincerity, in which we may always know one another, and be a comfort one unto another, in the plainness and simplicity of that blessed truth, which saves and sanctifies from all unrighteousness, and unites unto God, and brings into near fellowship one with another. For this is that which sanctifies, fits, and prepares the heart of man for every good virtue, and settles and composes his nature, not only for heavenly mercies, and that he may receive and enjoy them, but also for his station in this world, and the enjoyment of temporal favors, that he may receive and enjoy them with a blessing and in true comfort, and also be a blessing and a comfort in his place unto all concerned. This is the happiness and advantage, which is to be witnessed through the working and indwelling of that eternal power, which God Almighty has revealed in the hearts of his people in this day, as there is a faithful minding of, and subjection unto it, in the true love of it. And surely many there are, who if they knew the comfortable effects of it, would not abide under its condemnation, as they do. But it is, as it was said of old, they will not believe, though a man should tell it unto them. Dublin, the 6th of the 11th month, 1688. The account of the death of my dear wife will be come to hand before this, which is no small exercise to me. But though my loss is great in having her removed from me, yet I believe it is her gain. For she has been under great weakness and exercise of body a long time. However, this I can say, she bore her exercise beyond expectation, and told some friends she believed she was kept the longer, because I was so unwilling to give her up. I must confess it was hard, that it could not easily be accepted, and that for several reasons. But when I saw that it must be so, I was made willing, for her exercises took hold of my spirit. The morning of the day she departed, she said to me, she was afraid her passage would be hard. I told her, I hoped not. She was under a great exercise of pain, but bore it with wonderful quietness, and abode under it as one waiting for deliverance, and very sensibly spoke to me a little before her departure. So she went away like a lamb, without so much as a groan. We lived comfortably together. Her nature was good, kind, and courteous. She was merciful, very considerate, and of good understanding. She will be greatly missed in this place, for friends had a good love and esteem for her, and I have experience and know that many who seemingly might exceed in appearance will come far behind. Dublin, the 7th of the 12th month. We are pretty quiet here at present, but people's hearts are like the troubled waters, no stay or settlement, who cannot tell what way to go to be satisfied or be quiet in their minds. Only those who know the truth may rest there and be quiet under the covering of it, otherwise it would be mighty uneasy. I did intend for Cumberland, but at present friends could not well bear my going away, neither have I freedom in myself, so I rest in my place, waiting the time and season for it. Dublin, the 13th of the 3rd month, 1689. Our half-year's meeting is over, at which were assembled many friends and brethren from many parts of the nation, according to our usual manner. We enjoy our meetings peaceably and in quiet generally over the nation, and in most places our meetings are large, and many people come in, and all the people now have their liberty in the free exercise of their consciences in matters of religion. As for friends and truth, they are in good esteem, both with high and low. The Lord's care and mercy over us has been largely manifest, and friends learn great experience of the preservation of the mighty arm of the Lord in this great day of trial, which is upon this nation. Yet to our joy and comfort, friends are carried over it in the faith of the Son of God, and have been preserved miraculously, even beyond our expectation in several places, where their trials have been very great, and the dangers, as to appearance, dreadful. Yet friends have kept to their habitations, trusting in the Lord, and following their lawful concerns and business. At this half-year's, meeting our hearts were made more than ordinarily glad to see one another's faces in such a time as this. And the Lord's power and presence were with us, which crowns our meetings. In the sense and sweetness of the same, are most of our friends and brethren this day gone towards their outward beings in the peace of God, and in great love and unity, which did preciously abound among us in this our meeting, throughout all our concerns and affairs. The fourth day next I am intending to go into the country towards our province meeting, and think to visit friends before I return. Oxford, the fifth month. I have had a very comfortable journey among friends, and for the most part very large meetings, beyond my expectation, and very peaceable, namely, on the third day at Tipperary, and fourth day at John Fennell's. But at Tipperary I had like to have robbed by the Rapparees and lost my mare, but I got away and escaped, and rode back into the town. Last first day we had a very large meeting at Edward Gooding's, it was their monthly meeting. This day we have a meeting here, tomorrow at Samuel Watson's, and the fifth day at the meeting that belongs to Lambstown. I think the Carlo monthly meeting is next first day, so I intend to be there. Rapparees were Jacobite Irish Catholic partisans, supporting the return of James Roman II with the French army in an attempt to retake the crown of England, lost to William and Mary. These guerrilla fighters later became bandits and highwaymen. They were named Rapparees because they used a short pike weapon named a Rapparee. Dublin, the 12th of the 8th month. Friends, as far as I can give an account, are generally pretty well in health, and at liberty, and our meetings quiet and peaceful, and so are all others as far as I know. But many in the country are under sufferings, as respects the loss of their goods, by reason of the wars this land is greatly attended with. However, the eye of our friends is to the Lord, who doubtless allows not all those things to come to pass without a cause, but to be a chastisement for the sinfulness of the children of men. Ah, that all would take warning, to keep out of what provokes him to displeasure, that his hand might be removed. Truly, that which is our comfort and stay in the midst of all is the holy presence of his power, which attends our meetings, from the evidence of which we receive our satisfaction, that the Lord is well pleased with us. This is what bears up our spirits in the time of exercise. Dublin, the 25th of the first month, 1690. I had the opportunity this last winter to go among friends throughout both Leinster and Munster, which was a great satisfaction both to me and them. Friends are generally well, and our meetings are full, and we enjoy them in quietness as formerly. The Lord's presence is with us to our great comfort, which is valued by all who are rightly sensible of it, as a great mercy. Dublin, the 21st of the 6th month. I have been visiting friends in the north, and had an acceptable and comfortable season among them, and found them very cheerful. It is still to be lamented, that sin and wickedness should so abound, but the Lord doubtless will plead with all that grieve him, in his own way and time, though he is long-suffering. Therefore it will be our happiness, to rest quiet under his disposing and ordering hand, by which he will in his wisdom and power overrule all men and things, who knows best how to execute justice and judgment upon all, according to their works or deserts. For before him all things are naked and torn, therefore he cannot miss in judgment. We resting here and waiting upon him, it quiets our spirits and sweetens them. And also I can say, it makes many bitter things sweet and so sanctified that we meet with comfort in tribulation. Although it is natural unto and lawful for us in affliction, reverently to pray for and desire deliverance, and also when obtained, to rejoice therein and bless the Lord therefore. Yet still our happiness is to mind his providences and wise ordering of all things, and therewith to be content, without either murmuring at or struggling against, what he sees good to bring to pass. So here we shall all rest in one fold and covenant, and feed in one pasture together, and so have a fellow feeling of one another's joy or sufferings. For our resting place is but one in the truth, and our salvation stands therein forever, and therefore we need look at no other. John Burney, the testimony of friends in Cumberland, concerning that faithful servant of the Lord John Burney, belonging formerly to Pardsey meeting in Cumberland. He was born at Crabtreebeck, in the parish of Lowswater, in the said county. His parents were of good repute, and his education was according to his parentage. The Lord visited him in his young and tender years, and inclined his heart after good things. Whereupon he gave himself to reading the scriptures, that thereby he might be informed of those things that made for his soul's peace. And going from one man to another, who were counted men of experience, yet found no true satisfaction, until it pleased the Lord to send his ministers to turn his mind to the invisible word of life, which he gladly received into his heart, and came to wait in humiliation to feel the operation of it. So that he was brought forth early in the day of the breaking forth of God's light and power in our age, when it pleased God to visit many people in many nations of the world, and to make known his everlasting truth in the north country, which day of light and truth and grace many waited for, and were in readiness to receive with joy and gladness of heart. Among whom this our dear friend John Burney, being called by grace to the knowledge of the Lord, his truth and power, and receiving the same in love, faith, and obedience, he came to witness the effectual working thereof to his sanctification, and so became a vessel of honor fitted for his master's use, even Christ. And he learned to rule his own house well, in washing first the inside, and then the outside appearing clean also. Then his light began to shine before men, to the glory of God, who called him. This being first done in him, and for him, to his particular peace and satisfaction in the Lord's eternal truth, then the Lord opened his mouth in a few words in much tenderness, which tended greatly to the comforting of his people. He was always being careful to wait for the motion of the word, and to keep close with it, whereby he grew in his gift, and was drawn forth to visit friends in this county, where we dearly loved him. He was faithful in the discharge of his duty, when called to give testimony against the hireling priests in the steeple houses, to gather people from the mouths of those greedy shepherds who feed themselves, and not the flock, and did not profit the people at all. And for these things he suffered imprisonment a long time under a severe jailer, in a close, nasty place. For the Lord sent him forth in his joyful opening power and spirit, to preach glad tidings of salvation by Christ Jesus, sometimes to the spirits in prison, and to them coming out of prison, and entering into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. And to them who walked steadfastly in that glorious, pure liberty. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Whereby he was a blessed instrument in the hand of the Lord, both for convincing and converting to God, and for the refreshing, comforting, and strengthening of them in the faith, grace, and truth, that they might be built on the rock Christ, the foundation for all the chosen of God in him throughout all generations, that man might answer the end for which he was made, even to glorify God, who is worthy of glory and praise forever. He was a man of an excellent spirit, and of deep experience in the things of God and mysteries of his kingdom, which were richly made manifest unto him. And it was his delight to be meditating therein, whereby his experience was daily increased unto the conclusion of his days. He was a man tender of God's glory, and earnestly sought the spreading and propagating of the truth. The Lord made his travels successful, and he saw the fruit of his labor. And the Lord blessed him with the fruits of his Holy Spirit, whereby he became well qualified for the work of the ministry, a nursing father, lending a hand of help to the feeble of the flock, and comforting the mourners in Zion. For his doctrine did drop as the dew, and his speech as the small rain. He was a pattern of righteousness to the young generation, over whom he was very tender. And to the aged he could give counsel. So that God made him a strong pillar in his church, and clothed him with divine wisdom, that he was capable of speaking a word in season to all, which was as a nail fastened in a sure place. He was one of the Lord's worthies in his day, of a quick sight and clear discerning, of a strong arm and skillful hand, whose bow abode in strength, and carried the arrows to the mark aimed at, like as the men of Benjamin, that could sling stones to a hair's breadth. So he fixed judgment upon the head of the transgressor. His arrows returned not in vain, particularly against that wicked spirit of separation, wherever he met with it. He was often concerned in testimony against those that professed the truth and way of God, and yet did incline to suit themselves to the vain fashions and customs of the world, as inlets to a wrong spirit, and became evil precedents to others, especially young people, who are too much employed in their minds with foolish dresses and fashions, who never knew the weighty work of truth and power of God in their hearts to work a change there, but were too apt to look out at others. These things he did often testify against, as one having authority, being himself redeemed out of those things by the power of God. His innocent deportment and blameless conversation preached wherever he came. Gravity and patience were with him, moderation in meat, drink, and apparel, having laid aside all superfluity of naughtiness and received with meekness the engrafted word. all which were as ornaments upon him, and preached for the truth abundantly. As also did the many living testimonies he bore, that flowed through him as showers upon the tender grass. He was a true laborer, who spared not his life unto death, and was willing to spend and be spent, that he might gain upon the sons and daughters of men, to turn them from darkness unto the true light, and from the power of Satan unto God. Oh, what shall we say of him? He was a faithful preacher of the gospel, not only in words, but in life and practice, and his memory shall live forever. For his labor and travel both at home and abroad, in prison and at liberty, have been such as cannot easily be forgotten by many, who have reaped the benefit thereof. For the Lord was pleased wonderfully to appear by him, and sound through him, to the awakening many to righteousness, and greatly encouraging all the faithful among God's people. In deep exercises he was as a skillful physician, to apply that which was suitable unto all. Yes, he was quick and sharp, on the one hand to search, as on the other hand to cure, heal, bind up, and comfort. But unto the hypocrites he was dreadful and terrible, though he was a man of large compassion. Many an untrodden path he traveled, and passed through great dangers both by sea and land in visiting friends, not only in England, but also in Scotland, Ireland, Barbados, New England, with the islands adjacent, passing through wilderness places and dangerous waters. Through all which the Lord in a most wonderful manner preserved him, with the rest of his servants, from the hands of wicked and unreasonable men, and was ever near him for his preservation both inwardly and outwardly. The Lord clothed him with humility before all, as became the gospel he preached, which he preached freely, counting nothing near nor dear unto him to be parted with, suffered, or to be done. But a willingness was wrought in him through the mighty power of God, who always strengthened him to do, to suffer, and to undergo all things whatsoever for his worthy name's sake. Although the Lord had bestowed eminent gifts on him, yet he would condescend to the weak capacities of all, to reach to the good in all, that he might lay a foundation to build upon. He had the word of reconciliation committed unto him, whereby he was made instrumental to reconcile many to God by Jesus Christ, and one unto another. The Lord caused him to triumph in Christ, and made manifest the savor of his knowledge in many places, and his ministry is scaled in the hearts of many, who are satisfied of his faithfulness unto God, who has received him into his rest. Now although his body is gone to the dust, yet his spirit lives, and that word of life, which was his pleasure, remains for our comfort, who are yet behind in that pilgrimage which he has passed through, and may be attended with the temptations which he is delivered from, who has finished his day's work, whom the Lord raised up to shine forth as a star in several parts of the northern and western world. His mild and grave deportment did so well become his deliberate ministry, that it greatly heightened his esteem among his neighbors, so that he was not without honor in his own country. When at any time he came into Cumberland, where he was born and educated, his neighbors would abundantly flock to the meeting to hear him. Yet he was far from glorying in his gift or desiring to be popular, but would rather restrain such who would applaud him, having self in no reputation. He may be truly numbered among the righteous, who sought God's glory and the peace and unity, flourishing and prosperity of his church, which Christ is the head of. Much more might we say concerning him, but shall attribute nothing to him, but to the Lord's power that did support him. Now, if Samuel had cause to mourn for Saul, and the children of Israel wept 30 days for Moses, much cause have many now to mourn for the loss of so dear a friend. But though our loss is great, his gain is beyond utterance, who has received the blessed recompense of reward for his labors and travels, for all his service and suffering. Having finished his course and time in this world, he is entered into life and happiness everlasting in the world to come. We pray the Lord of the harvest to raise up other laborers in his room, and also in the place of others that have finished their testimonies for God and Christ, that God over all through Jesus Christ may have the honor, glory, and praise from generation to generation, who is blessed forever. Amen. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Psalms 37:37. Philip Burney, Richard Head, John Tiffin, Christopher Story, John Banks, Peter Fearon, Thomas Lathes, Jonathan Bowman, Thomas Dockray, John Bosted, Christopher Wilson, Thomas Fletcher, James Dickinson. Broughton, in Cumberland, the 22nd of the second month, 1691, the testimony of several women friends in Cumberland. In brokenness of heart and tenderness of our spirits, we have this testimony concerning our dear friend and brother John Burneet, that he was one of the Lord's worthies, chosen and fitted by him for his work and service, and it was his whole delight to do the will of God. So he came more and more to know of his doctrine, whereby he was made a good instrument in the hand of God, for the converting many from the error of their ways to the way of truth and righteousness. He was one on whom that prophecy came to be fulfilled, that saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. For he well knew how to divide the word of God aright, which dwelled plentifully in him as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook, so that he was often as a cloud full of rain, emptying himself at the Lord's command, causing the seed of life to spring, whereby God's inheritance was confirmed. He was a man of 1,000, clothed with innocence and beautified with humility. Words are too short to set forth the excellence of that spirit by which he was guided. Neither can we express fully what is in our hearts concerning him. Yet shall we attribute nothing to him, but to the Lord's power that wrought effectually in him, to the making him to shine. For he was an instrument of good to many, making a difference, saving some with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, being found in that pure and undefiled religion of visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keeping himself unspotted from the world, and therefore knew how to save upon Mount Zion and judge upon Mount Esau. Much might be written concerning him, for we know the very desire of his heart and bent of his spirit was that God through his Son might reign in the house of Jacob, and the kingdom might be the Lord's. He abhorred the appearance of gathering to himself, and had self of no reputation. Therefore the Lord honored him with his divine presence, and made his company, although dreadful to the backsliders, yet very desirable unto many, especially those who knew his integrity and zeal for the exaltation of the name and truth of God, in whose hearts he was highly esteemed for his work's sake, which shall follow him, although he is at rest from his labor, having gotten to his desired haven, where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, temptations cannot enter, and overcoming is known by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, who have not loved their lives unto death. To him that overcomes, said Christ Jesus, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He shall not be heard of the second death, but with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all the faithful in the kingdom of God, without ceasing sing praises unto him, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and evermore, who is worthy. Oh, the great loss we have of him! How can we but lament? Yet it is his everlasting gain, for he shall never return to us, but we may go to him. That word of life, in which his life was hidden, yet remains for our support, which, as we are careful to keep to, will preserve us, as it has done him, to enter into that mansion of glory the Lord has in store for all the faithful. He was dear unto us in the Lord, with whom our souls were bound up in God's everlasting covenant. And though his body is gone to the dust, yet our souls rejoice with many more, in that we enjoy his spirit, and are come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel. Where our joy is full, and our spirits bowed and subjected to the will of God, where our peace flows and the life arises, that fills our hearts with praises, that ascend as sweet incense to the Lord God and to the Lamb who is blessed forevermore. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord when he delights in his way. PSA 37:23. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Dan 12:3. Margaret Fawcett, Mary Wilson, Jane Wilson, Mary Bowman, Margaret Head, Sarah Fallowfield, Jane Hall. Broughton, in Cumberland, the 22nd of the second month, 1691. A testimony of several friends in Ireland, in whose hearts it sprung, and who gave it forth in the behalf of our dear brother John Burneet. As for our dear friend and worthy brother in the Lord, John Burneet, late of Dublin, deceased, whom some of us have known many years, we have this testimony and the truth concerning him, namely, that he has been steadfast in the Lord's work, an able minister of the gospel and faithful laborer, who had a word in season to minister to the several conditions of friends and people, dividing the word aright. A strengthener of the weak, and a free feeder of Christ's lambs and sheep, with the food he had freely received, to the comforting of many. His testimony for the power of truth and righteousness was clear, and many were convinced by him. His conversation was so heavenly, and becoming the principle of truth he was a preacher of, that we know no one that can truly charge him with anything that might spot his profession or ministry. He was a man excellently well qualified for the work whereunto he was called of God, the Lord having endued him with a large measure of his spirit. He had great openings and discoveries of the mysteries of God's kingdom. He had also the tongue of the learned, and was fitted for every good word and work the Lord employed him in. His qualifications were beyond many, and though little in himself, yet in the Lord, a mighty man of valor. In all times of suffering and exercise, he failed not to be in the front. He was a valiant in Israel and a pillar in the house of God. He sympathized with the afflicted, seeking the good of others, and above all, the honor and prosperity of truth were in his eye. When he took his wife among us, how careful and circumspect was he of truth's honor and the concord and unity of friends and brethren. Where he came among friends, he would not be idle, but did often visit the sick and comfort those that were in distress or affliction. For indeed, he was a true servant to all honest friends, as well the poor as rich, and would freely administer of his outward substance to such as stood in need. He was meek and gentle, and of a healing spirit, and it was the love and mercy of God to us in this nation, and particularly this city of Dublin, to order his outward abode and settlement among us, by whom many were convinced of the truth and turned from the evil of their ways, and the peace of the church, the unity and fellowship of friends increased. He was one of the archers of Israel, who could shoot to an hair's breadth, to the wounding of the hairy scalp of the wicked one, and the putting of the Lord's enemies to silence. He was a messenger of glad tidings, and directed us to the blessed light that God had caused to shine in our hearts when we were strangers to it. Yes, then did it appear as a witness for the Lord against all ungodly practices. It was a day of glad tidings to many, when the Lord made him one of his trumpets to us, to sound his gospel to the reaching God's witness in our hearts. Oh, that it may not be forgotten by any of us who have been turned to God. He had a true love for all tender-hearted friends, and traveled for their growth and prosperity in the blessed truth, not only in these three nations, but also in the Western Islands and America, to the turning many to the blessed way of life and salvation, as by accounts appear. He was a true pattern of godliness and piety in an humble, meek, and inoffensive conversation, apt to teach, ready to give heavenly advice and instruction, a good example in all things. An early comer to meetings and a diligent waiter therein, many times he would sit a pretty while in silence, not being forward to speak, reverently waiting upon the opening of the heavenly life, like the good householder spoken of, to bring forth of his treasury things both new and old. He was deeply experienced in the work and service of the Lord, and was a great comfort and support to many in their great sufferings and hard exercises, and did mightily strengthen and encourage friends in their several places of abode. Twice, during the late troubles, he visited friends in Munster and in this province of Leinster, unto whom he was very open, and had large meetings for in many places the world's teachers had fled and left their flocks. Many times in the public meetings he would bear a faithful, plain, and clear testimony against superstition and idolatry, and against that loose, wicked, blasphemous, and unclean spirit that many gave up to be led by. As soon as the way was open to the north, he visited friends there. Now, after the death of his wife, he had some intentions to go for England, and sent his son there. But seeing the troubles of wars coming on, and that many afflictions and exercises would attend us, and that many people being possessed with great fears, fled for England. At which time many testimonies came from friends of sundry meetings, for all to mind the Lord's preserving power, and not to let fears take hold of them, as it did of others, who knew not the Lord. Our dear friend, though he had an opportunity, had no freedom to go for England, but gave himself up to stay with friends here, and bear a part of the sufferings that might attend us. In which time, he was a precious instrument in the Lord's hand for the comforting his people in the time of great afflictions and calamities, for he was a cheerful encourager of us. He was a dear friend, a true brother, a diligent overseer and tender father, a perfect and upright man in his day, who feared God and eschewed evil. Although he sought the salvation of all, yet could not bear with deceitful men and evil workers who professed the truth, yet brought dishonor to it. Against such he had a just indignation and godly zeal. Oh, the remembrance of his fatherly care over God's heritage in keeping things in good order is not to be forgotten, for his care was great that the professors of truth might walk answerable to it in a chaste life and blameless conversation. In all his travels, into whose house he entered, he was content with what things were set before him, were they ever so small, which was great satisfaction to many poor, honest friends among whom his lot was cast. He would not usurp authority over his brethren, but was of a healing spirit and lamb-like nature, and of a good report in all his travels. Our dear friend and brother did greatly delight to read the Holy Scriptures, and would often and with great earnestness advise friends frequently to read the same, and the young and tender in years more especially, as also friends' books, in which the principles of truth were treated of, that so none might be ignorant of the principles of the true Christian religion, now again preached and clearly held forth. He was at our province meeting at Rosnelli's a little before his decease, where he bore a living, fresh testimony among friends to our great comfort, and exhorted friends to faithfulness. From there he went to Montrath and had a meeting there, and from there to Ballinacle and had a meeting there. So he came to the monthly meeting at Newgarden, where many heard him bear a living, sweet testimony in the opening of the Word of Life to the refreshing of their souls. After meeting, he came home with our friend John Watson to his house, and feeling himself not well, took his bed and was visited with a fever, and continued sick for the space of 12 days. At which time he was preserved in his senses and in a sweet frame of spirit, and did often say he was finely at ease and quiet in his spirit. The Lord did attend him with his heavenly power and presence to his comfort and our great satisfaction. He said to John Watson that he ever loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him from his youth, and that he felt his love. He was wonderfully preserved in a sensible condition to the last. And on the 11th day of the 7th month, 1690, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he quietly and peaceably departed this life, about the 59th year of his age, and is gone to his rest with the Lord, and his works follow him. As he honored the Lord in his day, so he was honored with the company of many ancient friends from several parts of our province, to accompany him to his grave at Newgarden, where he was decently interred the 14th day of the same month. And there, we had a good meeting, to the great satisfaction of many friends and others. Now surely, if David did well in sorrowing for Absalom, we have reason greatly to lament the loss of so dear, tender, and upright-hearted a friend, whose labor and travel was great both in body and spirit, faithfully to serve the Lord, his church and people, and to exalt his glorious name and propagate his living truth in the earth, and to preserve unity and peace in the churches of Christ. But believing it is the Lord's will that is done concerning him, in a holy and reverent resignation and submission thereunto, we ought to be content. Knowing it is his unspeakable gain to be absent from the body, and at home with Christ. Thus, dear friends, we that yet remain do see how the Lord is pleased to remove from among us many of our ancient friends and faithful laborers in the gospel of peace, who have been serviceable in this day for the gathering and confirming of many in the truth, that we may walk therein. Friends, we that are yet behind, are the more immediately concerned to labor in the heavenly gift of his divine grace, which the Lord in his love has bestowed upon us, that so we may come up in this gospel day to succeed them that are gone before us to their rest in the Lord, in bearing a faithful testimony to the blessed truth. That our memorial may live to ages to come, as this our dear friend and elder brothers does among God's people to this day, who having faithfully finished his course here in great patience and in humble and holy subjection to the will of God, has now received a crown of immortal glory, which is laid up for all the faithful followers of the Lamb and lovers of the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom and the Father through him be glory and honor both now and forever. Amen. Anthony Sharp, John Watson, Roger Roberts, Henry Hillary, Amos Strettle, John Hawks, dated in Dublin, the 22nd of the 2nd month, 1691. To the rulers, ministers, and people of the island of Barbados, who see and take notice in any measure of the hand of the Lord that is upon them, and have desires in them to have his judgments removed. Written in Barbados, about the 29th of the 11th month, 1670, upon the occasion of a fast, that was pretended to by the people of the island, because of a great sickness that was upon them, whereof many died, of which my companion William Simpson then died. Friends, it is sin that provokes the Lord and causes his judgments in his wrath to come upon a nation, a people, or a particular. For that does the Lord visit with his rod, and many times smite with his sore judgments. While that is lived in, the Lord will not hear, though man may cry and make many prayers, as you may see in the scriptures of truth. Read Isaiah the first, and see what the Lord said unto Israel when they were revolted and become a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Though they offered sacrifices and burnt offerings, and called assemblies, and observed the new moons and the appointed feasts, the prophet called them the rulers of Sodom, and said, Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices, said the Lord? And further told them that though they spread forth their hands, he would hide his eyes from them, and when they did make many prayers, he would not hear. Their hands were full of blood, and therefore commanded them to wash, make clean, and put away the evil of their doings from before his eyes, and cease to do evil and learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, and then come and let us reason together, said the Lord. So here you may see, this is the way for man to cease from doing evil, and to learn to do well, whereby he may come into acquaintance with the Lord, and to have his prayers heard and his requests answered, and so the judgment to be removed. Also Daniel's counsel to the king was that he should break off his sins by righteousness, and his iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, that it might be a lengthening of his tranquility, Dan 4:27. All along in the scriptures of truth, you may see that sin was the cause why the Lord was angry with any people, and why his wrath came upon any nation, and that the Lord, though he spared long many times, would not be reconciled to them, until they obeyed his call in turning from the evil of their ways. And if they would not be turned, at last he brought his judgments upon them to cut them off. You may see concerning Israel many times, both in the wilderness, where the unbelieving and disobedient were cut off and perished. And also, after they were come into the land of promise, how often, because of their sins, he brought his judgments over them, and destruction upon them, after he had warned them, and by his prophets called unto them to leave their wickedness, and to learn to do righteously, and to amend their ways and their doings. Because they would not hear, but continued in their sin, the Lord brought his sore judgments upon them, and rejected them, and cut them off, and laid the land desolate, notwithstanding the multitude of their sacrifices, of their prayers, and of their observations. So that he that killed an ox was as if he slew a man, and he that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck, and he that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood, and he that burned incense as if he blessed an idol. And all this was because they chose their own ways, and their souls did delight in their abominations, as you may read, Isaiah 66:3-4. Therefore were all their performances rejected of the Lord, and he brought their fear upon them. Because when he called, they would not answer; when he spoke, they would not hear, but did evil before his eyes, and chose that in which he delighted not. So that all along you may see in the scripture, it was not that which people did, as upon the account of the worship of God, that at all pleases him, or appeased his wrath, while they did evil before him, and chose that in which he delighted not. As is very evident from the scriptures of truth, in many testimonies therein to this purpose. Time would fail to mention all, and what was written before a time was written for our learning, and that we should take warning by their example, who sinned and continued therein until the day of mercy was over. Rom 15:4, 1 Cor 10:1-11. Since the Lord has stirred in you to take notice of his judgments, and of his hand upon the people of this island, prepare your hearts to seek the Lord in his own way. And before you pretend to draw near unto him that is holy, or to worship him, or to offer an offering, or to keep a day unto him, forsake your sins, put away the evil of your doing from before his eyes, and learn to do well, that your prayers may be heard, and that you may keep the day holy unto the Lord. Observe the fast which the Lord has chosen, which is, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke, to deal your bread to the hungry with such like works of righteousness. And then the Lord has promised that to such their light shall break forth as the morning, and their health shall spring forth speedily, and their righteousness shall go before them, and the glory of the Lord shall be their reward. then may such cry, and the Lord will answer and say, Here am I. When there is a taking away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity, Issa. 58:6-10. Therefore try your ways and your doings, and let none think that the Lord is like a man, that he will be satisfied with fair words or pretenses. Where his voice is not hearkened unto and obeyed, but sin lived in, and the fast kept which the Scripture condemns, which the Lord has not chosen, as you may read Issa. 58:2-5. For you may see there how that people did seek him daily, and had a delight to know his ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They asked of me the ordinances of justice, said the Lord, and they take delight in approaching to God, and then cried, Why have we fasted, and you see not? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no knowledge? The Lord gives the reason. Behold, said he, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high, said the Lord. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, and bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Said the prophet. No, as I have showed before, this is not it. Therefore let everyone consider how they are prepared to keep the fast that God has chosen, that the fruits thereof may be brought forth by everyone that pretends to it, or else their cry will not be heard on high. For the Lord knows everyone's intent and takes notice of their doings. So that it is not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, that shall enter and be accepted, but he that does the will of God. Here you may see there are two fasts, the one chosen and the other rejected, and the fruits of both manifested, whereby they may be known, who are the true fasters and who are not, agreeably to what Christ has said, every tree shall be known by its fruit. Let all mind what they do and what they bring forth, for they that fast for strife and debate and do smite with the fist of wickedness, they do not fast to the Lord, their voice he will not hear, according to the Scripture. Such who, instead of setting the oppressed free, of undoing the heavy burdens, and of breaking every yoke, do bring under oppression, and lay heavy burdens, and make yokes instead of breaking them. Such are not the people the Lord will accept in their fasts, nor whose prayers he will hear. Because they walk not in the equal way of the Lord, but love to wander, and have not restrained their feet, therefore said Jeremiah, the Lord doesn't accept them, but will remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And the Lord commanded the prophet, that he should not pray for that people for their good. For said God, when they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offerings and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, Jer 14:10-12. So you may see all along, the Lord doesn't regard all that man can do, or may do, so long as he wanders from God, and doesn't restrain his feet from walking in the evil way. Thus has it been in all dispensations of the Scripture before, and therefore much more under this last and most glorious ministration of the gospel of Christ Jesus, which is professed by you, in which the former comes to be fulfilled and finished, or perfected, where Christ himself is the great lawgiver, who gives out his ordinances and precepts unto all his people, who according to the promise of the Father, gives unto them the Spirit, and writes his law in the hearts of all the children of the new covenant, Jer 31:33, which they are to observe and to walk after. And if anyone does otherwise, he ought to be dealt with all, according to the command of this great lawgiver, Matt 18:15-17. First to be spoken to, and see if he will hear, either a brother, two or three, or the church. And if he will not hear, nor be gained, then said Christ, let him be unto you as an heathen and a publican. But he gives no commission to Christians to persecute, to put in prison, to take away goods, to pull down their houses, to put their feet in the stocks, to root them out of the world root and branch. No, nor to wish it so to be done unto them. But if any do, he will reprove such as he did the disciples when he told them they knew not what spirit they were of when they desired fire to come from heaven. For he came not to destroy, but to save, as you may read Luke 9:54-56. And you may see what the apostle Paul said, who was a wise master builder. He said, one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. But between them, he said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So you may see, here is no forcing upon any man, in those things that appertain to the worship of God. But as Christ overrules the conscience and persuades the heart, and brings man into a belief that it is according to the will of God, so that it may be done in the faith, without which none can please God. For said the Apostle, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Rom 14, 5:23. Therefore, as the gospel is professed, let Christ's commands be observed, and the example of the primitive Christians followed, who were blessed in their day, and had the witness of acceptance with God, who were persecuted, but never persecuted any, nor sought to trouble any, as upon a bodily or outward account, for their conscience. Though they did reprove them sharply, who turned away from the power of truth, and became enemies to the cross of Christ, whose belly was their God, who gloried in their shame, and minded earthly things, and so served not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, Phil 3:18-19. Now such the apostle did bear testimony against, or any others that practiced unrighteousness. But we do not read that he either did, or desired to have it so, that they that did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ should be put in prison, or in the stocks, or any such bodily punishment, but left them to the righteous judgments of the Lord at his coming, having warned them, and so not to have fellowship with them as brethren. But according to Christ's command, let them be as heathens or publicans. So all may see very clearly, who will read the scripture with a single eye, that it is not of Christ, nor according to the primitive example of the church in her best state, to enforce the conscience of any, to do anything as a duty to God, which they themselves had not a persuasion unto, though they did very sharply reprove and very zealously bear testimony against all such, who made shipwreck of faith and a good conscience, and turned from the guidance and leading of the grace of God into lasciviousness, wantonness, and fleshly liberty. Therefore I cannot but desire that all who profess Christianity may follow the example of those who were the first and wisest builders of Christianity, who laid the foundation so that another cannot be laid. He that would build upon this that is already laid, other than what they had built, must suffer loss in the day when his works come to be tried. Therefore, if any see the Lord's rod, and his judgments in these things that are upon the people of this island, let all such humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, and wait to feel his mighty power to subdue the man of sin, and to bring under that which has oppressed the soul, that through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the oppressed may be set free, and every yoke may be broken, that it may be witnessed which was spoken by him, John 8:36, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then people come to the fast which the Lord has chosen, and that fast cannot be accompanied with cruelty. There is no smiting with the fist of wickedness, nor bringing oppression over the just, where Christ is owned and followed, as the Lord has appointed, as a witness, a leader and a commander, for which he is given to the people, as you may read in Isaiah 55:4. But where these evils are brought forth, as the fruits of any fast, by those that appoint or pretend to keep a fast, is it not like Jezebel's fast, that she caused the elders and nobles of the city to proclaim, where the just man was witnessed against, condemned, and stoned to death for nothing, but because he could not live or sell his inheritance away, which the Lord had given him? So we desire the good of all men, and that everyone may take notice of his own ways, how he walks before the Lord, and do unto others as he would be done unto. And that all may be free upon the account of things that appertain to God, and so left to the judgment of him that knows all hearts, that from him they may receive reward. As for those things in which man is condemned, if any man do wrong or injury to another in person or estate, we say, let such be punished according to the law, which was made for the transgressor, and let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream, Amos 5:24. This is the way the scripture largely testifies, in which man may come to be accepted, and the wrath of God appeased, and his judgments removed, and so the right desire answered. From a lover of peace and righteousness, who truly seeks the good of all men, John Burney at the end this website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God in his kingdom.